On this edition of Cross Examine, we will be discussing the UN's role in creating white genocide not only here in the United States, but also in Europe, as well as the 50th anniversary of the Immigration Act that forever changed the racial makeup of the United States. Hello, my friends, to another episode of Cross Examine. I am your host, Attorney Jason Robb, and I welcome each one of you to another episode of our show. To our regular listeners, we just want to thank you for continually listening to our shows and the other programs here on White Pride Radio. And our new listeners, I just want to welcome everyone as well. On this episode, we're going to be talking about the United Nations role in creating really this idea of white genocide in the United States as well as in Europe. We often see the dramatic shift, the racial shift, demographic shift of the United States and Europe. And we often think that this is a role that is just being done in the individual states or countries, I should say. And that is true for the most part. But what people don't also realize that this is also an agenda of the United Nations. The United Nations is an organization that all, or not all, but several hundred countries are members of. And really it is a design to make a world order, and the new world order, as Senior George Bush said in the 90s. But that's what it really is. The United Nations is bent on creating a world dominance where there is no sovereignties of the different countries, but that we are basically just all different territories in which the United Nations controls all the countries. And so when we see these drastic demographic shifts in the different countries, regardless it's in the United States or in Canada or in Europe, it is an agenda that is being perpetrated and intentionally done by the United Nations. Now, it's not being done by, or not being done against any other countries that are non-white, but only countries that are white or historically have been white. And all of this is really a part of the United Nations High Commission for Refugees. And when we see the drastic shift of the refugees, so-called refugees, I need to add, the so-called refugees from Syria and other countries being sent by the thousands in Europe and the United States, it is done for the sole purpose to displace white people, to divide the white population. It's a old military strategy of divide and conquer. And the refugees is just one element in doing that. And so there is what's called the United Nations High Commission for Refugees. And it's being influenced by the Socialist International. And this agenda really is nothing short of white genocide. It's balkanizing Europe. It's balkanizing the United States. And it's really causing our countries to go in turmoil. It's causing our countries to lose the racial identity that we have always had in the United States and in Europe. And as a result of that, we see the mess that we are seeing today. We see the economy. We see the unemployment. We see the drastic social change in all our white countries. It is being done because the United Nations is one of the elements, among other things, that is causing intentionally to disrupt the racial makeup of the different countries. Now, the New American had reported, I'm going to do some repeating here, but this is what the New American had reported. The UN High Commissioner for Refugees, Antonio Guterres, and the United Nations Children's Fund Executive Director Anthony Lake are the UN point men working closely with the Obama State Department. The active leadership of both of these individuals in the U.S. and EU refugee policies is cause for alarm. Even more alarming is the fact that they are not only the only troubling participants. The ranks of the UN official involved in formulating refugee solutions are filled with persons, including from communist China, who have neither the interests of the refugees nor the security concerns of the West in mind. Guterres is a former Socialist Party Prime Minister of Portugal and former President of the European Council. Perhaps most notably, he was, from 1995 to 2005, President of the Socialist International, the radical Marxist organization that includes many former communist parties that have rebranded themselves as socialist or social democrat without significantly changing their politics or personnel. Although virtually unknown to most Americans, the Socialist International has been exerting enormous political influence worldwide since the 1950s, especially through its dominant influence at the United Nations. The Socialist International membership includes more than 160 socialist parties from more than 100 countries, including from 54 nations that were Socialist International members parties, are currently running the show or sharing power in a coalition government. At its 1962 Congress in Oslo, Norway, the Socialist International candidly proclaimed, quote, "The ultimate objective of the parties of the Socialist International is nothing less than world government. Membership of the United Nations must be made universal. The Socialist International has never deviated from that objective and has used its growing influence to push greater empowerment of the UN and its agencies to the point that the UN is now on the brink of becoming a world government." So what we have here is we have the UN for decades and decades have been creeping into the governments of not only in Europe, but in the United States, and really being getting the grasp and the hold and the ears of the presidents as well as the prime ministers of these different countries. And the UN, as a result, have been pushing their agenda. They don't have to push their agenda fast. It can be very, very slowly. Case in point, the UN would never have been able to achieve the so-called refugee crisis here in the United States, social change in the United States, the homosexual agenda, the miscegenation. Never would have they been able to push that in the 60s. It has only been the last 20 or 30 years they have been really able to get a foot in the doors of these different countries. And so when we think about these changes that has happening in the United States, we need to remember that it's at a greater force than some local sellout politician. It is done and is methodically done by the UN. The UN has an agenda of world domination. They have an agenda to ensure that our sovereignties, the countries of the United States and Canada and our white European sister countries, the sovereignty of these different countries, they want to destroy it. And why do they want to destroy specifically these countries? Well, first off, these countries are white countries. These countries have always historically been the identity, the racial makeup has always been European, has been white. Secondly, they've always been primarily Christian countries. The United States has always been a Christian country. It was founded upon Christian principles. Founding forefathers of the United States were Christians. The documents, the states, constitutions, everything related to Christianity. And in Europe, it has always been Christianity. That is why historically the West has always been called Christendom, because Christianity thrived in Europe. And so not only was Europe and the United States and Canada white countries, but there were also Christian countries. And when you have white countries and you have Christian countries, what does that make it? It makes it a first world country. And so now what we have is we have those countries that really stood in the way of the UN and the powers that be to really get their agenda of world domination. Because if you can destroy white countries, if you can destroy Christianity, then there's no longer a sense of sovereignty. There's no longer a sense of racial pride. It causes disruption. And when you see a disruption, you now see what is caused in the United States. You can see what's causing the problems in the United States. You can see what's causing the problems in Europe. Because now the United States and Canada and Europe no longer reflects white countries. They're no longer reflecting Christian countries. Because the result of the agenda of the UN to bring by the thousands and now the millions of non-whites into these different countries. The refugee crisis in Syria by itself, Germany is bringing over 500,000 so-called refugees in Germany. And these are non-Germans. They're not white Germans. They are Syrians. They are non-whites. As a result, it is going to drastically shift the policies of Germany. It's going to change the racial makeup of Germany. And Germany will no longer reflect the country that it used to be. The same as in the United States. The United States is expected to bring over 200,000 so-called refugees in the next 2 years. My friends, that is devastating to the demographic in the United States. And when we talk about the demographics, we are talking about the racial makeups of the United States. So 200,000 refugees, as I like to term it, being brought in the United States just in the next 2 years. And that does not take in consideration of the millions of illegal aliens coming to the United States that are evading our borders. That does not count the over the 1 million green card holders that is coming into the United States every year. That does not count of the future generations of all of these non-whites coming into the United States. This is what causes a breakdown of society as we know it. And people are scratching their head and wondering, why is it happening? Why do we see all of this going on around us in a very short time? It is simply white genocide. There is a plan to destroy the white culture. There is a plan to destroy white Christianity. There is a plan to destroy the future generations of our people, my friends. And the United Nations is just one of the many ways they are trying to do that. It is a very calculated and methodical way of destroying and displacing the white population. And we all need to be aware of it. And so if this is the first time you are hearing this, don't say, you, Jason, are just crazy. You have no idea what you are talking about. Get on the internet. Start doing some research. Start looking at some of these programs that the United Nations doing. Look at some of the agendas of the policies of the United States. Who is behind all of these social changes within our government? And my friends, I have said this before, people are getting tired of this. People see what's happening, and they see it happening very, very quick. They know that something is happening that is destroying their government, and they can see it all around them. And the people, the white citizens of the United States, are more than ever distrusting their government. They're distrusting the politicians because they know the politicians, I don't care if it's a Democrat or Republican politicians, they're the same shade of gray. They're both selling out this country for their own pocketbooks. My friends, there was a poll just a while ago. It was done by the Gallup poll. Very respected institution that does polling all across the United States. So the Gallup poll is probably one of the premier polls, watchers and producers out there in the United States. And they did a recent poll regarding the people's beliefs of what is happening around them regarding the government's agenda and whether or not they believe the government agenda is really out there to destroy the United States sovereignty, the citizens, and make it more of a socialist, communistic, one world order, that type of aspect. And it was really, really revealing, because it came out, and I'm trying to find it on this computer, but if you are on this link, but if you go to the NRA-ILA.org, that's NRAILA.org, /articles/Gallup, Gallup poll, then you should be able to find the link. But the poll revealed, and I will get to it, that, quote, the persistent finding in recent years that half the population views the government as an immediate threat underscores the degree to which the role and power of government remains a key issue of our time. From the people's perspective, then, a focus on the appropriate role for government should be at the forefront of the nation's continuing political discourse and should be a key point of debate in the current presidential election campaigns, end quote. So, basically, we have the poll here in which half of the population views the United States government as an immediate threat to their liberties. That could be immediate threat from gun ownership. It could be immediate threat to their religious beliefs of being a Christian. Their immediate threat of the government trying to change the racial makeup of the United States, to the social changes of the definition of marriage between a man and a woman. Everything that we see as a threat from the government, half the population believes that her own government is a threat to those liberties. And the thing is, they are correct. And I would dare to say that half the population believes it, and the other half is probably scared not to say that because they think that the government is going to get them. So we have an overwhelming majority of population within the United States that believes that the government is out to take away their liberties, take away their sovereignty, take away their faith in Jesus Christ. And what we see here is we again see the people starting to rise. We see the people starting to take notice of what's happening in their own country. And it doesn't have to be a rocket scientist to figure that out, that we are seeing this drastic shift in the policies of the federal government, because no longer does the federal government represent our people. The federal government represents the agenda of the United Nations. They represent the agenda of the One World Order. They represent the agenda of those elitists that is trying to do social experiments in the United States, from miscegenation to homosexuality to abortion to pedophilia to open borders to allow illegal aliens and other aliens into the United States. Everything that we see is a radical agenda that historically has never been allowed in the United States, but it's been done over a period of time, slowly and slowly and slowly, hoping that the people will not wake up. But my friends, the people are starting to wake up. The people are starting to having the covers pulled over their eyes, and they are starting to see what is happening around them. They can see the government betraying them. They can see the government betraying their children and betraying their future grandchildren. They can see the government betraying just the economic status of the United States. They just don't believe anything that's coming out of Washington, D.C. Just even recently, the Obama administration issued an executive order to instruct the federal agencies to experiment on the citizens. And how is this being done? Through social experiments to get public reactions. And so we are seeing the government, the United States government, no longer reflects the will of the people. And again, our people are starting to wake up. They're waking up slowly, but nevertheless, they are waking up. And if you can hear my voice, then I want to remind people that not all hope is lost. Our people have not been defeated. Our people still have a future to fight and to preserve their children. We still have an ability to preserve our heritage and our culture to our future generation. One way you can do that, my friends, is go to whiteprideradio.com and continually listen to the programs on this air. You can also go to KKK.com and look at all the different programs that that organization does. You can attend events. Events that you can bring your children, your grandchildren. If you're married, bring your spouse. You can attend events that you where you can go and reawaken the instinct of your ancestors within your body, where you can start having pride of your culture, pride in your history, pride of all the advancements that your people have brought to the civilizations throughout the world. One event that you can attend is the European American Heritage Festival. It is going to be held on October 24th in Pulaski, Tennessee. That's just about 70 miles south of Nashville, Tennessee. And it's again on October 24th, 2015. It's on a Saturday. This event is a great event. It's an event that would be similar to a folk festival in your local towns or a harvest homecoming. There are booths there. There's food. There's crafts. There are display tables dealing with the different sponsors. There's display tables of the history of our European countries and the United States. And some of these sponsors, I would like to add, that helps put this together is the Christian Revival Center, the Barnes Review, the American Free Press, the Knights Party, Canadian Association for Free Speech, Cast Football, Heritage Connection, Nationalist Times, the Political Cesspool, Stormfront, and Dr. Thomas Sunak. and the European American Women of Faith. If you go to EuropeanAmericanHeritageFestival.com, you can see the different sponsors. You can see the pictures of the past. This has been held 30 years now. The European American Heritage Festival has been conducting this event every year for 30 years. It first started out as a protest to the Martin Luther King Jr.'s holiday, to make it a national holiday, which, my friends, is the only national holiday for a private citizen. We don't have a national holiday for George Washington. We don't have a national holiday for Abraham Lincoln. We don't have a national holiday for Thomas Jefferson. We don't have a national holiday for any private citizen except Martin Luther King. And why is that? Again, it's another form of white genocide, trying to displace our people and disconnect our people from our past. Go to Pulaski, Tennessee, my friends, on October 24th. Bring your family. This event is something that you all need to go to in order to reawaken your past, reawaken that love for your children and your grandchildren, and knowing that you have a right to exist, that you have a right to pass your beautiful culture to your children. What makes this event in Pulaski, Tennessee very, very unique is that the participants can participate in what's called the European American Heritage Walk. And there's many who takes this part in this walk. Brings a flag to represent their particular European American or their European heritage. Regardless if they're from Ireland or England or Italy, if their ancestors came from Germany or Greece, or they're Swedish or Swedes or French, Hungarians, or other Scandinavian countries, you can carry a flag representing that country. And this year, more than ever, we are encouraging everyone to bring their Confederate flag out. Bring your Confederate flag out. We see this attack on our people. More than ever this year, we have seen an attack on the Confederate flag. And it's not really an attack on the Confederate flag. It's an attack on our people. It's an attack on our culture. It's an attack on you and me and our children. The Confederate flag really no longer represents the Southern cause. It represents white pride. It represents white unity. It represents the people that no longer will stand and run away from tyranny. The Confederate flag is a symbol of our people that says we will no longer agree to be betrayed by the federal government. We no longer will agree to have white genocide in our civilizations. No longer are we going to stand idle as the enemy tries to destroy our people and destroys our children. No longer are we going to stand and just allow you to bulldoze over us. And the Confederate flag, like I said, my friends, really is not a Southern cause flag. If you look in Europe, they proudly fly the Confederate flag over in Europe because they know what it represents. They know, and anyone that sees a Confederate flag instantaneously associates it for white pride, white victory, white unity. And so, my friends, I encourage you, attend the European American Heritage Festival. Reconnect to your people. Reconnect to your children. Take your children's hand. Take your spouse's hand and be committed to them. Make an oath to them that you will not betray them, that you will stand in these dark hours and remain faithful to our cause. My white brothers and sisters, that's all we have for this week. And remember, you have the right to exist.